Welcome to the Victory Orlando Church Podcast. We are so glad you decided to join us. We want to help you to know God, find freedom, and discover your divine purpose so that you can make a difference with your life. We pray this message encourages you, inspires you, brings you hope, and builds your faith.
Today, the word of the Lord is obedience, storms, and purpose. Let me hear you say obedience, storms, and purpose. We've been in a series called What's on the Other Side, and we've been looking at what's on the other side of some spiritual things, things in this life, and we've talked about everything from salvation and righteousness to our words. We talked the last couple weeks about the end times, and today I want to talk about this whole idea of what's on the other side of our obedience. What's on the other side of the storms we go through? And really, honestly, the answer to all the both of those questions of what's on the other side is the same. What's on the other side of your obedience is people. What's on the other side of the storms that you're going through in your life? It's the same, people. There are people on the other side of our obedience when God calls us, when God speaks to us through His word. There are people that are affected. Amen? So I want to talk about this today, and kind of as we wrap up the series of what's on the other side. What is obedience? If you look in the dictionary, the word obedience means submission to another's authority. It means compliance with a law, order, or request. So obedience is simply recognizing there is a higher authority that has spoken something that we are to do, and then it is our willingness to do it. That is obedience. And so when we look at that in the spiritual sense with God, God, all throughout Scripture, calls His people, asks us to obey what He has spoken, right? He gives us His word or His decrees, His commands, sometimes Scripture calls it. And He says, if you follow me, if you love me, then you will follow, keep my commands. There is an obedience that God is looking for in His people, and it's actually all throughout Scripture. I want to give us a few scriptures today how God directs us to obedience. The first one is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. This is the prophet Samuel, and he says that obedience is better than sacrifice. If you don't know the story, you can read the whole story this week, but basically King Saul had disobeyed God's command, and when Samuel came and called him out on it, King Saul starts making excuses. Well, I was trying to do the good thing. I was trying to do the right thing, but I did it my way. Come on, he was the original Burger King, your way right away. Come on. And God has said, hey, God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God says, I don't need you to do your own thing. If you're going to follow me, I want you to do it my way. And He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. So it's better than saying, God, I'll give you a sacrifice. I'll give you some praise, but I'm going to do everything else my way. He said He would rather have sacrifice. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, God is speaking, and He says, if you are willing and obedient, then you will eat the good of the land. Notice there's now two parts to obedience: willingness and obedience. And please don't skip over the conditional part of this promise. We all like the end of the promise, right? Eating the good of the land, having all of God's blessings, having God's favor. Like, we all want that, right? But there's a condition usually on God's promises. And He says, if you're willing and obedient, so the two go together. How many have ever been willing but not obedient? Anybody? Just me. Okay. What about the other side? Maybe you're the other side. You haven't been willing, like, I don't want to do that, but then you go ahead and you do it anyway, even with a bad attitude, right? The Bible says we need both willingness and obedience, and then we'll experience God's blessings, His goodness, all that He has for us. Jesus talked about obedience to God the Father and how He lived that way. John chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus is speaking. He says, if you keep my commands, or in another term, if you obey His commands, you will remain in His love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands, He obeyed the Father and remained in His love. So Jesus is saying, I'm not just telling you to do something. He says, I'm going to do it first and show you how to do it. That's how important it was of this obedience to God the Father. Jesus said, I'm going to show you how to do it. And again, we see it near the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. John writes, he says, in fact, this is love for God. So if we profess to love God, God, I love you, he says, keep his commands. In other words, obey God's commands. That is love for God. And listen, his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So let me ask you this question. Is it worth it to follow Jesus? Is it worth it to obey Jesus at the expense of the way we think is right? It is a resounding yes, right? That is how we overcome, is when our faith in him is strong enough to say, God, I will obey what you command even when I think something else. Come on, that is victory right there. Like the reason that it's worth it, yeah, it's great for us to obey. We'll experience God's blessings, God's goodness. Our faith will be strengthened. But it's worth it to follow Jesus, to obey his commands, because there is people on the other side of our obedience. There are people in our lives that are affected by our choice to obey. Did you know that you are not a robot? You are not Pinocchio. God is not up there pulling your strings like a puppet master. God has given you the choice. In fact, in Deuteronomy, he says, today I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose which one you want. But spoiler alert, it's an open book test. Choose life, right? He says the choice is up to you. You can choose obedience or you can choose disobedience. And the same is true. There are people on the other side of our obedience. The same, there are people on the other side of our disobedience. When we choose to obey God, there will be a ripple effect of people that are affected by our choice to obey when God calls us to something, when God speaks to something through the word. But the same is true. When we choose to disobey what God has said, there will also be a ripple effect of those who are affected in our lives based on our willingness to obey God or disobey God. So how do we know then what God is speaking? Isn't that the million-dollar question? Because I think most people, most Christians, probably when you ask them, do you want to obey God or disobey God? Well, most people are going to say, yeah, I want to obey God. So how do we know then what God is speaking to us? One of the primary ways that God speaks to us is through his word. It's called the Bible. When we open the Bible and we begin to read it, it's called the word of God because it is God-breathed. God inspired people to write down the words so that you would know what God was speaking to you and you wouldn't have to question it. You can know this is God's word for you. That's why it's so important to read the Bible, to know what's in there, not to check a box off, not to appease your conscience, not to appease the preacher and say, yeah, I read my Bible today. No, it's so that you can hear God speaking to you. I love doing home improvement projects. Anybody else? Working on things around the house, going to Home Depot, buying something, installing it in the house, fixing something. Maybe you're in Pinterest projects. Anybody? Come on. When you go and buy something, you put in a new pair of blinds, or you're installing something, building a project or a Pinterest project, there's this important thing, optional thing, that's included called the directions. Anybody seen those? It's this little folded up, I don't know, 20 times they fold these paper down into this little thing like this, and then you open the box and it's just kind of this superfluous thing that just kind of floats to the side, and I don't really need that. Anybody else? Oh, and all the men said, amen. Sometimes when we're doing those projects, the directions are optional until we realize that those blinds are hanging crooked. What happened? I have all these extra, parts left over. What are these for? Sometimes the directions are optional. But did you know? The directions were not included in there to decrease your level of enjoyment of the product. The instructions were not included to make you feel bad. They weren't included to let you know you're not as smart as Bob Vila or whatever else. The directions were included to increase your enjoyment, to help you to maximize the thing that you have just purchased or are building so that you can enjoy it to its fullest. Can I just tell you, in the same way, God did not give us his commands, his word, to make us feel bad. He did not give us his word, his commands to keep us from having fun or to be, you know, something that's just, oh, I better try to be a better. No, God gave us his word. It says it's full of life. It's full of hope. It's full of power and wisdom and direction for us. In fact, there is an answer to every single thing that we will face in this life included in the Bible. You know, it's just sometimes we want to go through life and feel like that's the directions. God gave us an instruction manual for our life so that we could maximize this life and the abilities he's given us, so that we could maximize the finances he's entrusted to us, so that we could maximize the time that he's given us, so that we could, A, enjoy life and live it in a way to bring him glory. Come on, that's why he's given us his word. So sometimes we just got to get into the word and begin to realize that God is for us, not against us, right? Well, pastor, I'm seeking the Lord. I'm drawing near to him. I want to know him more, but I just don't need to read the Bible. That'd kind of be like looking at your spouse and being like, babe, I love you. You know, I love when being together and all that, but I really just don't want to listen to you talk. Please don't say that to your spouse. You might get left here at church if you say that. You know, like, might be walking home. Somebody will give you a ride home, praise him. But we want you to have a good ride home, a good lunch, a good marriage, you know. Like, here, you want to mess up your marriage? Tell your spouse that, you know. But, you know, sometimes we approach God that way. God, I'll squeeze you in when I got time. You know, like, I'm busy. I woke up late today, and I got to get to work or whatever else. Or, God, I want to stay up late and watch Netflix. And listen, God isn't opposed to all those things, but not at expense of him. We just got to begin to get things back in order in our lives so that we could experience life to the fullest. One of the primary ways God speaks to us is when we're reading his word. So when we talk about wanting to know God more, when we talk about wanting to know his will and to know what he's called us to do, his purpose for our lives, listen, the Bible then is a necessity. You can't talk about being close to God and knowing his will and not be in the word. Look what Psalms 119 verse 9 says. How can a young person or a young at heart person, all the young at heart people said, amen. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? In our crazy, messed up world, how can we live pure? By living according to my feelings. By living according to what Netflix or MSNBC or Fox News or whatever news you listen to told you. No, he says, we live, stay on the path of purity by living according to your word, to God's word. He says, I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. Help me to live in obedience, right? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What is he doing? He's showing us how to live according to the word. Hide the word in your heart. Memorize it so that you, when it, in moments of pressure, you can it comes back out of you. He says, I seek you with all my heart. Why? So that I won't stray from what you put in here. So I'll live a life of obedience. If we really want to live a life of significance, if you really want to live a life that makes a difference in this world for the glory of God, then it starts with simple acts of obedience, living according to God's word. Are we getting this today? The word of God helps us live in obedience, right? You know, what happens if you want to cook an amazing meal for your family, but you've never cooked before and you don't follow the recipe? It will be a mess. It'll probably taste bad. And so often we have Christians in the church who love God and go out and whatever, but they don't ever read the Bible. They never spend time in his presence, and their life is a mess. And when they talk about God, it tastes bad. Come on. Not anybody in this room, though. Come on, because we are a Bible-believing, Bible-reading church. Amen? All right. So what's on the other side of our obedience? People are on the other side of our obedience. We're kind of getting a glimpse of what obedience is, and maybe you're wondering, Pastor, what does that mean, that people are on the other side of my obedience? Simply put, when we choose to live in obedience to God, it will bring us to a place where we have the opportunity to share the life-giving message of Jesus with another person, to bring hope, to bring healing into their lives, right? People are on the other side of when we choose to obey God. I've just learned that when God asks me to do something, when God speaks to me, it rarely leads me to a place of comfort. Because, you know, God speaks to me and he says, I want you to go pray for this person. Well, I got to get out of my comfort zone to go pray for that person. Anybody else? You know, sometimes when God calls you to you know, be involved, to start serving somewhere, to go help on the Hope Truck, listen, it's going to cause you to get out of your comfort zone. It always requires acts of simple obedience to begin to obey God, right? I think about when God called me and my wife, Heather, to move here to Orlando. We were living in Oklahoma. That's where I'm from, Boomer Sooner. And he called us to move here to Orlando to be part of the team, to help start this church with our founding pastors, Pastor Caleb and Sarah Worley. And I remember when he called us here, and man, life was good in Tulsa. It was easy. I had a great job, the best job I had had in my life, making the most money I'd ever made. Things were good. I had a good circle of friends. I was involved in my church there. And like, I could have lived that way a long time and been happy, lived a good life, done some good things. But God showed up one day and he said, hey, I've called you for more. I'm calling you to get up and leave the place you're going and go to a city where you don't know anybody. When we moved here, we didn't know anybody. We didn't have any friends and didn't know where we were going to live. Pastor Caleb just said, we're going to live on the east side, so live close in this area. And he drew a circle on the map. And I'm like, I didn't know what Waterford Lakes was. I didn't know any of that. I didn't, you know, and so we're like, okay, God, we're going to go. But can I tell you, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. You know, we began to, I asked my boss at that time, like, hey, can I work for you from Orlando? No. So now I need to find a job. Man, I went through tons of job applications, tons of interviews, nothing panned out. It's getting closer and closer to the time we're supposed to move. And I have no job. How many of y'all know you need a job to pay for things? You need some money, some income. And same way, we're trying to find a house, and every door seemed to be closed in our face, and the ones that were available seemed to be more and more expensive. Like, how will we ever pay for that? And now, looking back, those prices seem so cheap compared to what they are today, you know? And yet, listen, God still provides today, you know? And sometimes we just need to realize when the economy is up and the inflation's up, just look at, devil, you're going to have to work a little bit harder to take me out. God is a provider. And I just remember facing all the discouragement. And Heather and I having the discussions, maybe we missed it. Maybe we shouldn't go. What if we just delayed it? Listen, anytime God calls you to something, there will be the option to obey, but then comes the storm. Then comes the problem. As you start to get out of your comfort zone, there will be opposition because we have a spiritual enemy. And when God is leading you towards obedience to something to affect the lives of people, listen, I wasn't moving to Orlando for myself. We are coming to be part of building a church. We're coming to be part of this. And I'm so thankful because look at what's happening through our church now. I mean, I didn't know that one day, in 2017, that I would have the opportunity to serve as the pastor of this church. That wasn't my plan. Come on. But God knew. But if I hadn't taken those steps of obedience back in Tulsa, back in 2014, I wouldn't be here with you today. There is a ripple effect beyond what we can even imagine when we choose to obey. I think about people in this church. You want to talk about the ripple effect? So people came, people gave to start this church, right? People have served and all that kind of stuff to make sure that we could have a moment here so that our church will be thriving in 2022. I think about people in this church, lives that have been affected. There's one family who has been serving and been part of our church for years now and told me the story how they had invited their coworker over weeks and years to come to church. And then that one Easter, that coworker finally came to church, gave their life to Jesus in that service. Come on. Isn't that awesome? And then a few months later, that coworker stepped into eternity. Come on, there are people on the other side of our simple act of obedience to invite somebody. One invite can change eternity for a person. There are people on the other side of your obedience to share your faith, to grab one of those you're invited invite cards, to pick up your phone and text somebody that you know is struggling or far from God. Your willingness in that moment to extend yourself can change eternity for them. Come on, I think about that. I'm going to ask Miss Stacy to come up here and share a story that she shared with me this week. Come on, Miss Stacy. Give a big hand for Miss Stacy, part of our dream team. Miss Stacy, how long have you been part of our church? Years now.
Since, what, 2016?
Since 2016. Yeah, you were sharing a story with me the other day, and I asked you to share that. Tell us that story about a moment when God led you to an act of obedience.
He asked me, I said, I guess I got to be obedient. And I'm just thankful to be here, and I just praise God for the opportunity. Just in my life, just speaking and fighting fear has just been a thing for me. So just even able to be up here, I'm just thankful, and it's just God working through me. So in those moments of time. So when we were in South Carolina a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't here at church, we were in a Walmart, and there was a young lady that lost her phone, and we happened to find it. So we just held on to the phone, and so somebody started calling, so we met her, and I gave her her phone. So I usually talk to people when I see them, and I'm just like that, because you never know what somebody wants, if they have something to say or you have something to say to them. So I just started having a conversation with her. And so I was looking at her, and she started, and I looked down, and I seen she had her knee wrapped up. And so when I looked down and her knee was wrapped up, it just came on to me, you need to pray for her knee. Wow. And I'm like, in here in Walmart? I'm like, oh, Lord. And I'm already like, oh, I don't like to talk. I'm people, and I'm just like, in here. So I'm just not sure if I'm going to do that. So I just kept walking and talking and having this conversation with her about, what are you doing here? Well, she wasn't from South Carolina either, she was from north, so I talked about up north, the weather, just so many things to just talk so I can get the courage up, because I'm like, I got to do this. I don't know how or if I'm going to do it in the main aisle where we're walking, and I'm just thinking, okay, Lord, here goes, you know, because I'm just like, but I knew I had to. So I said, after she told me, I said, can I pray for your knee? And she said, yes. So I'm like, okay, I'm locked into it now. So we're in the middle aisle. So I just closed my eyes and I did pray for her knee. And she said, I thank you, because I'm going, when I get back home for a test to see if there needs to be something done with my knee. And I said, well, can you agree with me that it will be a good report, that you will receive a good report? And she said, yes. So just because of that moment, and through the midst of all my fear, I was able to do that. So when I have that in my heart again, wherever I am, I know that I can do that. So not only was it for her, but that I can be a blessing where I am for other people. So that was big for me also. And I'm thankful.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Come on, let's give God some praise. Thank you, Miss Stacy. Hey, Walmart is a great place to pray for some people. How many of y'all know there's some people in Walmart that need prayer? Amen. And I'm not just talking about you. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm so thankful that small steps of obedience, sometimes we see the end result, sometimes we don't. But there is people that are waiting, people that need to know that God is speaking and bringing answers their way. I think of the family when we were trying to buy a Hope truck. We have the Hope truck now, and we know that it's there. It goes out into the community every month. They give groceries away. It's beautiful. It's wrapped and all that kind of stuff. But once upon a time, we didn't have that truck. And as a church, we were believing God for the $8,000 to buy the truck. And I remember the day when a lady in this church walked up and gave Pastor Caleb the $8,000 check to buy the Hope truck. And listen, we were rejoicing, we were celebrating, but it was a sacrifice for her. And she said, God spoke to me and said to write the check for this amount. And so I'm bringing this to you. She says, but it took me a few days to be able to, that's a check to write. You know what I'm saying? And I'm so thankful because of the willingness of one person to be obedient when God spoke to her, to sacrifice something that seems so valuable. We're able to buy a Hope truck. And because of that, thousands of people here in Central Florida have been able to hear the message of Jesus, have been able to receive food. I mean, in 2020 and 2021 alone, through the Hope Truck, we gave away 47,910 pounds of food to 1,597 families because of one act of obedience. And not only was it just that, that people have been able to receive groceries, but that one act of obedience then caused a ripple effect then for other people on our team to be able to hear the call of God and have a moment of obedience in their life to be able to say, you know what? I can go out on a Saturday afternoon. I can sweat a little bit. I can put some food boxes in some people's car. One moment of obedience caused a ripple effect for other people to be able to answer their moment of obedience, which caused a ripple effect to affect even more people, and so on down the line. There is always someone waiting on the other side of our obedience to when God speaks. Come on, I want to stir up your faith today. Who is waiting on the other side of what God is speaking to you to do? There's some of us even here that we've been on that fence, like Miss Stacy said. She was like trying to work up the courage to do it. And some of us have been in that zone where we've been kind of, I know I want to do it. I'm willing, but how do I step out? You've been kind of on the fence, and I want to stir up your faith today to know that God is with you. That when you step out in faith, God's not going to let you fall. You're going to be okay, and you're going to see the results of it, this ripple effect through our acts of obedience. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We'll start in verse 35. I want to show you a story in Jesus' life of obedience leading to the impact of people. To give you a little context as you're turning there of the story, there's this massive crowd that is gathered to hear Jesus preach. It was early in the morning. They're gathering people coming from all over. It was so big, the crowd was pressing in close to Jesus, and he kept backing away, and eventually they ran out of land, and now he's backing into the sea there, and so he gets up on a boat just so he doesn't drown and because he can't back up anymore, and he's preaching to this mass of people from this boat from early in the morning till late in the afternoon. Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad preachers have clocks? Y'all thought that I talked a long time. They're there all day listening to Jesus. And the Bible actually says here in Mark 4, it says that he taught the people using parables or stories about modern day life to relate it to how the kingdom of God was. Honestly, that's one of the reasons right there where we get the idea of doing what we call at the movies. That's something we do every summer where we take modern day movies with redemptive stories and we use them to teach a biblical truth through the lens of that story. It's one of my favorite things that we do as a church. I'm telling you this, Marsha told you about it because I want you to have it on your calendar. The four Sundays in July, it's going to be powerful. Some people, we schedule their vacations around it. I'm telling you ahead of time so that you know, listen, it's only in person. You can't get it online. Don't come to me afterwards with some sob story. I'm sorry, because of copyright, I can't share digitally, but it's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, that day that Jesus was teaching, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. So this is what we've been talking about, the other side. Look at your neighbor and say, the other side. Jesus is preaching, he's standing in a boat, and he gets to his third close, and he looks at his disciples, he says, boys, let's go to the other side, right? And he says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Verse 37, a furious squall or a huge storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Isn't that life sometimes? You're smooth sailing and all of a sudden out of nowhere, bam, inflation. You know, you're doing great, family's good, all of a sudden, bam, diagnosis of a disease. Life just seems out of nowhere sometimes. Have you ever found yourself in a storm you didn't ask for? Some kind of setback, some kind of unexpected thing that you didn't plan on. Listen, whether you choose to live in obedience or not, there will be storms that come at your life. There will be things that come to make life difficult and crazy. But I've just learned that more times than not, when I choose to obey, when God is speaking to me, I will walk through some kind of opposition. I will go through some kind of storm, and the storm is not sent from God. It's coming meant to discourage me, meant to get me to back off of what I'm doing, to choose something other than what I've already chosen to do. The storms are going to come trying to convince you that you missed it. Have you ever had those thoughts in the middle of it? You take a step of obedience and all of a sudden the thought comes, maybe you missed God. Maybe God didn't really call you to this. Maybe you just made it all up. Listen, that is a lie from the enemy. Come on, don't give up. Let me encourage you today. Keep taking those steps of obedience that God put on your heart to do, and you will make it. Come on, that was the thing for me and Heather when we were planning on moving here, was that every door was closed in our face. Even the school that we wanted to get our daughter into told us, why are you coming to Orlando for a church? You might as well just start a restaurant instead. Thank you. This was a Christian school. And then they told us there wasn't room in the inn for Bella, you know, like no job, no place to live, no school for our kids. And here we are like, God, what do we do? And we started having the questions. God, did we miss it? God, what's going on? Well, we thought you called us here, and I'm so thankful, because I would call Pastor Caleb and I'd be like, hey, I just don't know when we're going to be able to come. It just doesn't look like it's going to work out for us, so I don't know. And I remember the day that he said to me, he said, did God call you here? Yes. Okay, keep moving. All right. And so when I shared that with Heather, you know, it was like, all right, so what do we do? And I was like, I don't know. The only thing that we can do, sometimes we want to do the big thing without taking the small steps. Sometimes we delay obedience when it looks like nothing is working out, rather than just taking some smaller steps, reevaluating, well, what can I do? If I can't get to the destination yet, what can I do in the meantime? And that's where Heather and I landed. Well, what can we do right now? All we can do is keep packing boxes. So that's what we did. We just kept packing boxes. And we took it as far, like, if we don't have a job, if we don't have a house, we don't have a school for our daughter, well, let's just keep packing boxes. So we did. We even got the measurements of the moving truck and put a tape outline in our living room to make sure everything was going to fit. Like, that's all we could do. And we kept packing boxes, and we kept packing boxes. And then less than just a couple weeks before we were supposed to move, I remember getting the call from my boss. Hey, I want you to work for me from Orlando, and I'm going to give you a raise. Well, praise the Lord. That same week, I found a realtor who would show me a rental house through FaceTime with a buddy that came to represent me instead. And I'm driving down the road watching this FaceTime of this house, and the lady says, if you want it, it's yours. I mean, just in a matter of a couple days, things started dropping in place. We got into an even better school for our daughter than we could have planned out. I'm telling you what, when you begin to take small steps of obedience, things begin to change. You are going to go through opposition. But listen, the story is not about the opposition. God didn't send the opposition to stop you. The storm just happened to be in the way of what God is sending you to effect on the other side. And you're going to have to go through the storm. But listen, when you're in the storm, you're never alone. Come on, let me hear you say, never alone. The disciples, they never asked to be in the storm. Jesus just said, let's go to the other side. And so trying to be good disciples, they're like, okay, whatever you say, Jesus, let's go to the other side. They were probably tired. They've been out in the sun all day with Jesus, listening to him preach. They probably filled up their notebooks with notes. They're probably a little hangry because they hadn't ate all day, and they're just ready for some downtime. And Jesus says, hey, we're not actually doing that. We're getting in the boat. We're sailing across to the other side. And now they're in the middle of this huge storm, so big, it's so bad, they think they're about to drown. They're going to die. Thanks a lot, Jesus, for bringing us out here, right? That's where they are. And here it says, Jesus was in the boat with them, but he was asleep in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Jesus is back there. He's got his purple mattress all curled up, you know, sleeping all nice. He's just sawing logs back there. It just goes to show you that when everybody else is living in fear and panic and torment and freaking out, you don't have to. Just because there's a storm doesn't mean it's certain defeat. Just because there's a storm, it doesn't mean that it's the end of your story or that you're doing the wrong thing. Sometimes you just need to realize that you have something with you that's greater than the storm. It's just that when we live in panic, we don't even see that Jesus is still there. Jesus with us, Emmanuel, then we can realize I can have peace on my worst day. When the world is falling apart, it's not that I have my head buried in the sand. It's not that I'm pretending like there's no problems. There are problems. There are things that we have to deal with. I can just deal with it through hope, through peace, through strength, and through joy, rather than freak out and torment and panic and fear and anxiety and all that other stuff, right? It says, the disciples woke him and they said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus, you're supposed to be good. You're supposed to save me. And you don't care. You're sleeping. We're about to go under. I wonder how long the disciples struggled trying to do it on their own. You know, they were fishermen. They had fished this sea countless times before. They had been in storms on this sea before, and I'm sure they tried to figure it out. I wonder how long they spent wearing themselves out, trying to do it, not having the strength, going through all the thoughts in their mind. I wish I would have told this person I loved them one more time, and now I'm going to die, and I can't. I wonder how long they did it on their own before they came to Jesus. I wonder how long they struggled with the thought of, you know, I was just trying to do the right thing, and now I'm going to die. Thanks a lot, Jesus, before they realized, oh, he's still right here. Sometimes we're the same way, aren't we? We try to do it our own way, struggling, wondering why we're just tired, spinning our wheels, not realizing that we've been doing it in our own strength rather than just coming to Jesus from the start. Come on, somebody. It says, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Three words. He said, the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So what was the indication of Jesus' question to them? Apparently, Jesus expected the disciples to have enough faith in that moment to say the three words that he said, quiet, be still, and to calm the storm themselves without them needing to wake him in fear. I want to give us two things today, two keys that are going to help us live in obedience when God speaks to us. First one is this. If we're going to live in obedience, we need to increase our level of faith. Jesus, his question to his disciples, he says, why are you afraid? Do you have no faith? And I wonder today if we were to come to Jesus with all of our questions, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that the price of gas is so high? Why are you afraid? Do you not have any faith? Jesus, don't you care about COVID and all the sickness, about the cancer, about whatever it is? Jesus is saying, I've given you the faith. See, if we're going to live in obedience, the storm was trying to get the disciples to back out of their decision to go to the other side. What if we just go back? It was better over there before we came into this storm. The serving God stuff is too much, and obeying God, and I've got to deal with all this now. Listen, you're going to deal with storms whether you obey God or not. I've heard it said you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're about to go into one. Maybe you're thinking, wow, I thought church was supposed to be positive and encouraging. Well, I am positive that you will experience storms in your life. You know, like that's life with Jesus is never about just smooth sailing 100% of the time. Life with Jesus was just that you can have victory while you're going through the storm. You know what I mean? Like Jesus even said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Do not be afraid. Do not be overcome by fear, because he has overcome the world. And now that we are in him, we too overcome the world because of our faith in him. Come on. So when we are in the storm, if we want to continue in obedience, we need to, apparently Jesus is saying, increase your faith. How does faith come? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So faith comes through hearing the message of the word about Christ. Let's break it down even smaller. Faith comes through hearing the word. So when you need to increase the level of faith in your life, then we need to evaluate, what am I hearing? Whatever you listen to and hear the most will be the thing that is being built up in your life. So if the news channels is the thing you listen to and hear the most, guess what's going to be built up in your life? Fear of the economy, division, hatred for the other political party that's not your choice, whatever else is going on, all that kind of, that's what's going to be built up. So then it's no wonder to me why people act in fear and respond the way they do when that's what is being built up in their life. When you are in a storm, you need to increase the level of faith in your life. And let me just give you some insight, some advice. If you wait till the storm is about to take you out to try to get faith in your life, it's going to be late. We need, before we get into the storm, We need faith in us. We need to increase our level of faith. That's why it's so important. He says, hey, be in the word. Know the word. Have it in you. Why? Because that's building faith. Even today as I'm preaching to you, faith is being built up in your life because the word of God is being declared, right? That's what's happening. So when we need faith, we need to rise up and begin to evaluate what is the thing that we're listening to. One great way to build up faith in your life is ask yourself this question. The thing that I'm about to watch or listen to or read, whether it's a podcast, movie, music, or whatever, is this going to build faith in God's word or in something else? And not everything is created equal. Not even Christian things. I decided in my own life years and years ago that I'm going to be extremely cautious about the things I let into my eyes and my ears. You can make your own decision. Listen, increasing the level of your faith is not about legalism. It's not about any of that. Come on, you know, like if you want to know God's will, you're going to have to get in the book. That's not legalism, that's freedom. It's called the perfect law of liberty, of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So getting in the book brings freedom to you. It brings hope. It brings strength to you. It's going to build faith in you so that in the storm, you could have what it takes to get through it so you could remain in obedience to the thing that God has called you to. Are we getting this today? Let me say it this way. The level that we value, believe, and understand the word of God will determine the level to which our faith can grow. So I realize all of us have a different understanding of the word of God. Maybe somebody sitting near you knows the word better than you do or whatever else. That's okay. If you're new to the Bible or new, like, that's awesome. I'm so glad you're here. That's, you know, listen, there's no shame in if you don't know as much as somebody else. But let's just make sure that today's the least that I know. Tomorrow I'm going to know a little bit more. Come on, I'm just going to spend my days getting to know God's word more and more. Why? So that faith is built up inside of me. Come on, here's the second way. If we're going to increase our level of obedience, number one, we need to increase our level of faith. Number two, we need to decrease the level of fear. Jesus said, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? So one or the other will be strong in our lives. Faith will be strong, or fear will be strong in our lives. They're similar. Faith and fear are similar in that they both ask us to believe the what if question. Faith asks you to believe that what if God's promises are true? What if the thing you can't see is actually on the way? That's what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of what I don't see, what I don't have right now. It's asking me to believe the what if. Fear asks you to believe the what if too. What if that when you cough to clear your throat is, you know, COVID or something meant to kill you, and after you WebMD'd it, you know, you are going to die tomorrow. Fear wants you to ask the what if question just the same. It's just that at that point they diverge, where faith then builds strong confidence. Faith then builds assurance that God is working on your behalf, that you are going to make it, that you are going to thrive, that God's word is true. Fear on the other side produces torment. Look at our world. Our world is riddled with fear. People are tormented. Mental illness all over the place, depression, anxiety, to the point that people say they don't even know how they can overcome this thing, how they're just weighed down by darkness, by heaviness, all these things that Jesus came to exchange for lightness, for bright, for hope, for healing. There is torment that comes from fear. So if we are going to remain in obedience to God's word, then we're going to have to decrease the level of fear, because fear will always bring you to the place where you doubt God's word, where you question God's word, where you back away from the thing you had already started doing for God, because I just don't know if this will ever work out, and I'm probably going to fail, and I probably didn't hear God anyway, and don't know. Like, fear will try to get you to give up, to back away. Come on, it's always going to try to knock the faith out of you. And here we see the disciples in this place, the fear of the storm all around them. But you don't have to live in the fear of it. You can build up faith. Here's the antidote for fear. It's found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. How do we decrease the level of fear? I know it's easy to say, But how do we do that? 1 John 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, because perfect love, mature love, God's love, what does it do? It drives out fear from our lives, because fear has to do with torment or with punishment. Listen, the love of God drives out fear from your life. Let me say that one more time. The love of God drives out fear of your life. So when we need to decrease the level of fear in our lives, then we need to draw in close to the Father. Sometimes we need to get a fresh revelation of the love of God in our lives. Did you know that the moment you gave your life to Jesus, the Bible says God poured out, or it says he shed abroad in you his love. So you have in you right now everything you need to drive fear out of you, to get fear out of your mind, to get fear, that grip that's been holding you back, the thing that's been trying to choke the life out of you. The love of God is the thing that will break that in just a moment, and it's in you already. But sometimes we lose sight of that because all we see is the storm, the problems, the situations, and the things that we've listened to have built our faith in the circumstances rather than built our faith in God's word. And I believe God today is bringing us back to this place of simple trust in his word, of simple acts of obedience, of letting our faith be built up in his word, to be built on a firm foundation so that we can decrease the level of fear. Come on, fear is not going to go away on its own. It's not just going to give up one day and be like, oh, okay, that's fine, I'll see you later. No, we've got to rise up. Jesus said, rise up in faith. And I'm speaking to some of us today. It's time to rise up in faith and start to declare the word of God over your family. It's time to rise up in faith and begin to declare the word of God over your children, to declare the word of God over your mind, over your emotions. You don't have to be driven by what the world calls mental illness. You can have a sound mind. That is God's gift to you. He said, God never gives us a spirit of fear or timidity. So don't tell your kids they're shy. Don't tell their kids when they're acting, you know, want to speak out, oh, they're just shy. No, that's not a spirit God has given them, so you don't give it to them either. God has given you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, the thing that drives out fear, and a sound mind. But we've got to rise up into faith and take hold of what is ours, realizing that what God has said in here is yours. It's yours. But we live so defeated sometimes. Oh, I'm just trying to make it. I'm just a simple person. No. You are the righteousness of God. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood before God. Come on. Are y'all getting this today? There's always people on the other side of our obedience. Fear wants you to be self-focused, right? Fear wants you to doubt, because when we act in fear, all of a sudden we stop moving towards the people that God has called us to, and we start retreating. We can become stationary in what God has called us to. Look what happens as Jesus speaks to the storm. He calms the waves and moves into the next chapter, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. It says they got to the other side, to the region of the Gerasenes, right? They're on the other side. Finally, woo, we made it through the storm. Thank you, Jesus. We survived. Everything's better now. Can I tell you, when you get to the other side of the storm, open up your eyes. Get ready, because there are somebody there in that moment that God has brought you through that thing. He's walked you out with victory, allowed you to get through the storm, so that you could be ready to minister to those there. Look what happened. The very next verse. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came running from the tombs to meet him. What's on the other side of your obedience? Someone needing healing. Someone needing hope. Someone needing freedom. The man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons off of his feet. This is the original strong man right here. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. We don't know why this man ended up in this place where he was tormented by fear, but we see that some fear at some point in his life that he left unchecked some fear that he didn't deal with opened the door for torment to come in. And now it said there was a legion of demons that tormented this man, and we see the devastation in his lives. He lost everything. No family, no people, no connections, no place to live. He's just ostracized, living in a graveyard, cutting himself, hopeless, in despair. Torment, the description of fear. And here Jesus says, guys, I know you're tired. I know it's been a long day. Let's go to the other side. Guys, don't give up in the middle of a storm. Go to the other side. Increase your faith, guys. Don't be so afraid. We've got to get to the other side. See, the story is not about the storm. Your storm is not about the storm. It's about what's on the other side. It's about the people waiting for you. We just, anybody ever just been so focused on the storm you can't see anything else? God, this isn't fair. Why is this happening? When is this going to be over already? I thought my story would be something else. In fact, the storm was just in the way from what God has called you to do. And yes, God allowed you to go through the storm, but God was also with you every step of the way. When this man says he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees before him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please don't torture me." Jesus had told him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." What was on the other side of the disciples' obedience? This man who needed freedom. This man who needed healing. I wonder who is on the other side of your obedience. I wonder what teenager who's cutting themselves is on the other side of your obedience. I wonder what young adult is out there throwing away their purpose, waiting on your obedience. Who is waiting on your obedience? See, we think all the stuff in our world, the devastation is new, but no, it's not. Jesus knew someone was waiting for him. Verse 15, look what happened. Jesus heals the man, casts the demons out. The town people that lived in that town where that man was heard about it. They came running out when they came to see Jesus. They saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed, in his right mind, healed. It says they were afraid. See, this man was healed because the disciples were obedient when Jesus said, "Hey, let's go to the other side. There's someone waiting on the other side. Let's get through this storm." This man was healed, but not just this man was healed. I want you to see the ripple effect in this story, because this man was healed. He was set free. He was delivered. But then Jesus sent him out. He said, "Okay, now I want you to go and share with your family." But this man didn't stop at his family. It says he actually went to 10 cities declaring what Jesus has done, how he had healed him. People, we don't know how many people, but probably thousands of people heard about Jesus, saw the miracle of freedom before their eyes because of one man that said, "Let's go to the other side." There was a ripple effect because the disciples said, "You know what? We're going to make it through this storm." And then this man was healed and people heard about Jesus. Come on, let's get to our feet today. I believe God wants to waken us up to some people that are waiting, some things that we've delayed in obedience, that God wants to stir up inside of you today to reassure you. That thing that God has spoken to you in the middle of the night, that thing that you were unsure about. I don't know, Pastor, if I should get involved in this thing. I don't know if I should start serving in this way. I don't know if I should start giving in this way. I don't know if I should start praying for people at my work in this way. Hey, if God is leading you to something, let's begin to take small acts of obedience, because there is somebody that is waiting on the other side of you. It might be in Walmart today. It might be at the restaurant you go to. It might be at the family picnic. I don't know when or where, but I know as you come out of that storm, get ready for God to use you in mighty ways. So come on, all over the room, if that's the desire of your heart, you're ready to begin to take those small acts of obedience. Just begin to lift up our hands. Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving in this place today. God, I thank you. I thank you for your grace. God, I thank you that even when we're in the middle of a storm, that you haven't left us, that you're right there with us. Maybe that's where you are today. You're in the middle of a storm, something that you didn't choose, something you didn't want to be, you didn't ask for, but you, Regardless, you're in a storm, you're facing a situation, and it looks like it's over. You feel like it's going to take you out, that this is the end. Maybe you feel like things will never get better, like, God, why me? This isn't fair. And today, God has created this moment to just remind you, son, daughter, I am with you. Do not be afraid. It's time to increase the level of your faith. And today, if you need to increase the level of your faith, this is a starting point. This is the starting blocks for you to let your faith begin to be built and then to go from this place. Maybe you need to begin to change some things you've been listening to. Maybe you need to begin to get more word coming into your mind through a podcast, through putting the YouVersion and let it read to you. Maybe you need to begin to make that commitment to say, you know what? I need to evaluate the things that I'm letting feed me. So Lord, I thank you that in this place today, we are going to be those that choose to build faith in us. God, give us the courage to say no to some voices so that we can say yes to your voice. God, I pray that as we do, as we begin to draw near to you, that your voice would become so clear in our ears. As we read your word, God, that your voice would become so loud in our ears that it would be unmistakable, that we would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are speaking to us. I thank you for that even this week, even this afternoon, even tomorrow morning, Lord God, that we would know your voice, that we would hear you speaking, Lord God, just as Jesus declared that his sheep, those who follow him, would know his voice, that we would follow you and we would not follow the voice of the enemy. I just declare that promise over you right now, that you will know the voice of the Lord and you will follow and obey and you will not be deceived by the voice of the enemy.
Thank you for listening to the Victory Orlando Church podcast. We hope today's message helps you take another step closer to knowing God and finding freedom through His Word.